have an event you're trying to plan. It could be ceremonial, corporate, presidential, or even sports related. Nancy Ames, who serves as founder, co-owner, and creative director, and Danny Ward, who serves as president, co-owner, and executive director of Ward and Ames Special Events, will help you get the job done with class. In 2010, Local Houston Magazine featured this dynamic duo, Danny and Nancy, in their February Power Couples issue, which proves to us husband and wife can work together, for better or worse. Please welcome to the podcast one half of that dynamic duo, Danny Ward.
Good friend of mine with me today. She is the host of Great Day Houston.
And we've done so many things together. You always come when I call. It's like, you know, the mayor's tree lighting, the Thanksgiving Day parade.
For me, it's made me appreciate what I have a whole lot more because, listen, life is fleeting.
It was surreal my first year because I'm like, I'm in fourth grade and I've made it this far and they got news cameras here.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this is crazy.
Who is that? He is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that's what really inspired me to know that, hey, I can really do this.
I want to thank you for helping me with my new dream and supporting me as an artist. We got lots to talk about.
For over 30 years, my guest today, Danny Ward, along with his lovely wife, have been setting the standard in award-winning event design, development, and management. Together, they head a national Emmy award-winning full-service special events firm. Please welcome to the podcast today the president, co-owner, and executive producer of Ward & Ames Special Events, Danny Ward. Danny! How are you?
Tony, man, after that introduction, I'm not sure what else to say. We should quit while we're ahead.
It's so good to see you and so good to talk to you. How's everything going?
We're blessed in just a whole lot of ways. And I appreciate the opportunity to sit and visit with you a little bit. And I hope I have something important to say.
Oh, yeah. You have, trust me, you have a lot to say. Guys, this is a special interview for me because Danny and I have worked together and known each other for a long time. Danny, I actually did the calculations. We met, I know, right? We met in 1992.
Wow.
Yes. And the things we've done, because of you, I've had the opportunity to meet and greet and work for and sing for presidents, governors, mayors. I mean, we've done everything. I mean, I have a listing like mayor's tree lighting, Thanksgiving Day parades, MD Anderson galas. What was that? Memorial Hermann's 75th, UTMB's 125th. American Red Cross 100, United Way, Mayor's Inaugurations. I can go on and on and on. And you were really the tool that got me into doing those things. And that's what you do. And that's what we want to talk about today. I've been talking to a lot of people who are in the business, performers, you know, musicians, dancers, everybody. But now I'm talking to you as someone who is a producer. And we get to see the other side of the business and how everything that's going on and what we've been going through, how it affects you. So let me just start by asking you, what is your story? Where were you born? Went to school? Things like that.
Wow. Okay. Well, thanks again for the opportunity. I'm a native Houstonian. I was born here, went to Catholic grade school and on to high school. My folks got divorced and graduated high school and went to Cougar High, the University of Houston.
Go Cougs!
And then have just had a whole bunch of great opportunities that have come my way that have really helped me to understand who I am, and also helped us as we've evolved into the company that my wife and I have for over 30 years. And so I was a music nerd in high school. And that means that I not only played all the rehearsals for the Broadway shows that Lila Blunt, award-winning drama teacher was putting on at our high school, Waltrip High School. But along that way, I had the chance to meet and play rehearsals and shows and conduct for my good friend, Patrick Swayze, Buddy Swayze, and Cookie Joe and Nikki D'Amico and wonderful, talented singers. And then as well had the opportunity to work. I was the drum major in this, in the, when I was a senior, they let me lead the big band. All I had was music and voice and drama classes when I was a senior.
Wow.
And they, I was able to then go to the University of Houston. And it's a really long story don't need to go into today, but I did become a professional musician, a pianist, arranger, composer. And then that is how I met my darling wife, who we've been married over 40 years, Nancy Ames.
Nancy Ames. Yes. You guys, you may know that name, Nancy Ames.
And Nancy was a featured performer in what is referred to on television as the era of variety music television. So she was a writer on the Smothers Brothers show. She sang on the Andy Williams show, Hollywood Palace, about 20 or 30 Ed Sullivans, plus Dean Martin, Glenn Campbell. And it was actually Nancy going out to perform on Andy's last syndicated half-hour show for Metro Media in the late 70s that a position came open. And so I joined Andy and was a pianist and conductor for altogether about 8 years. And then when he decided he was going to build his Moon River Theater in Branson, I missed some of my daughter growing up. I decided to part company with Andy. I had the chance to also play for Shirley MacLaine and Bernadette Peters and Peggy Lee and some other great singers.
Wow.
So my wife and I started our firm in the 80s, and I'm trying to not make this be the longest story told. We have other things to talk about. But we started as an entertainment company, but saw through the 80s into the 90s that when people would say, hey, listen, thanks for helping us get that band for Christmas or for the wedding. Do you know anything about catering?
Wow.
How about decor? You know anything about lights? So we began evolving, being very interested in all aspects of the business. And for 8 years, I got to sit and play at Caesar's Palace or in Europe for Andy and look at professional lights and a professional orchestra and see how things were done. So I think that helped me along the way. So anyway, our story of Ward and Ames has evolved into a really good story. And the fact that we have corporate clients, including Liberty Mutual, Hess, Kohler Company for over 30 years, BHP, and wonderful clients that are corporate as well as our, and it's so meaningful to be able to work for our nonprofit clients, including all the medical center hospitals, Texas Children's, right. Memorial Hermann, MD Anderson, and then lots of other great philanthropic causes. So in that journey, being focused on and understanding the level of quality that we had in mind, it really helped us to understand and create some interesting formats along the way. And one that I remember that we had with you was completely illegal. And that is we took...
Can we say that?
we lived to tell the story. It was the idea, I think it was Nancy's idea, to take all of the fairy tales and children's stories, or certainly the prominent ones, and mix all the characters together that were never on the same story together. And we did various Broadway tributes and rock and roll. And then as well, because of our connection to star performing artists, we evolved into that. So we've been a buyer of star performances from the major agencies for over 30 years.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And you used a word that I was going to ask you about, and it just segued into it. That is a journey. Because, you know, you had to start somewhere and then it went one way and then you changed it and you went another way. But then altogether, you meshed it together to where it works for you, which takes me to my next question is how would you give advice to someone who was trying to get started in this business as a producer, someone who's sitting back and behind the scenes, which people don't realize that it's the people behind the scenes who make the show. And that's what you're doing.
Right. Well, that's a pretty complex answer. And I can just give you some of the perspectives that have helped us along the way. And the first thing is to understand that one size doesn't fit all. And mm-hmm. So that means that sometimes, and we love creating unique formats, sometimes it's great to have an evening, if it's a dinner, where at the conclusion of the dinner, there is a dance band. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a star, but stars are getting more and more challenging out there because of cost and price point. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we find that there is such an emphasis in television today that people we've discovered years ago love to see. So we call it the interview format, mm-hmm. where we'll take either a keynote speaker or bring in a great interviewer and listen to after dinner, 20, 30, 35 minutes, doesn't need a lot more than that. And we produce these with left and right video screens, a professional television director, center, left and right cameras. And so we bring to a live dinner audience a hard-hitting TV interview. Now, as to how to tell somebody to get involved, you know, we live in the best place in the country, no question about it, Houston, mm-hmm. Texas.
Right.
And now we see so many people moving here from California and New York.
Yes.
Because of state taxes. So on the one hand, because we're not an entertainment center, then that is a difficulty because you have so many in the East Coast and the West Coast. In fact, for years, when I was asked this question, I would say, go to New York or go to L.A. But we really have an oversaturation in a lot of the aspects of our business, which the pandemic really affected. So I say we need more talented people to understand that there is a need out there for lunches, not so much for breakfasts. there's corporate meetings. There are all kinds of clients who really can benefit from an organization looking at an evening. And the magic is controlling the time. Just like when you go into a theater, your time is controlled because when it's time for the movie to start or the play to start, by making announcements and controlling the audience and going to the featured entertainment and then making sure that whatever you're doing doesn't go on too long, the best time frame for an evening is another thing we spent a lot of time understanding. Mm-hmm. And sometimes dance is a great thing to incorporate. Sometimes a fireworks display. So, and now more than anything else, for the last 12 or 14 years, we've been creating video content in-house. And that's what has helped us during the pandemic. You can ask me questions. So where do you want to go from here?
No. And that's it. I'm loving this because you're kind of segueing into what the next questions, you know, are. And that's where I was going to be headed. It's a difference now because of the pandemic in the world in general. There were times when we would have meetings and, you know, go and sit in the offices and around at the round table and look out the windows. But now everything is virtual. Who would have ever thought that people would be having meetings, and I'm talking serious meetings, you know, online, virtual, looking at 20, 25 people at a time. And everybody's like dressed up from the head, from the chest up, and who knows what they have on from the waist down. But that's what, oh, don't do it. But that's what happens. That's what's going on right now. The pandemic. Oh my God. I mean, it affected everybody. And if you know, what were you doing at the start of the pandemic? Were you getting ready to go into new things? Were you working on things and things were just dropped? How did that affect you as a producer?
Well, the last plane I was on was March of 2020. Who's Tony? Who's the artist that did Don't Worry, Get Happy, Happy?
Don't Worry, Bobby McFerrin.
Right. So we presented Bobby McFerrin for our Kohler Company client up in Wisconsin. Uh-huh. And I distinctly remember noticing people going in the airport, coming home wearing masks that I never saw before. But we're just so lucky and grateful. Uh-huh. Now, we took our tools of creating video content. Now, before the pandemic, we would be hired to create a mission statement video or a CEO's message.
Yes.
Or if
yes.
It's beneficiaries who, a mother and daughter who were cured of cancer or heart or education. You know, we've been doing mm-hmm. events for the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation almost 30 years. So instead of creating pieces of video, we were able to have our clients who said, look, we can't come together. What do we do? So we said, well, if you will trust us, we will make a television show. And so that's where it really got interesting. And it was a steep learning curve. Uh-huh. So what I mean by that is just like when we bring people into a ballroom and control the sound and lights and with messages and by bringing the right MC on stage or starting with a musical number or whatever the format of the evening is, and then watching your clock and being able to keep everybody entertained.
Exactly. Here
we discovered very quickly that in the virtual world, you don't have 2.5 hours to entertain someone.
Yes.
So we have been really focused on creating impactful television production level work. And what we tell our clients is just like when at the start of a situation comedy, drama, whatever the television show format is, you'll find today that the first commercial doesn't happen until later in the first 10-minute segment. Why is that? They want to keep people tuned in. And so similarly, when we put something through a pipeline, meaning a broadband, create a virtual product, we tell our clients, you have got to be relevant and keep their attention or they're going to go watch Family Feud. we've been very lucky along the way here in the pandemic. And now the funny thing is that we are, without question, here in the springtime, started in the springtime of this year, we are seeing, and really, if you go to a cocktail party or have dinner with somebody, you'll probably hear somebody say, well, virtual is boring. And it really, it really is true. And
it really is true.
Yeah,
different. It's so different, and for what, at least 10 months, because it took about a month and a half before people could really get it and understand why are we doing virtual, and you know what. When everybody realized, oh, this is a way for us to communicate. I mean, it hit, and it's just like that's the best thing since sliced bread. But now you're saying people are like, okay, enough of virtual already. At least let me see someone face to face in person, as opposed to looking at the same person all the time on the screen.
And so part of this upheaval has been in the agency business, many, many hundreds and hundreds of layoffs. So at the same time as we have had agents that normally, you know, throughout the years, let us know that they've got a great artist ready for a performance. Well, the difference in virtual is that, and the price points are just so often untenable. And the difference there is whether it's whatever the genre is, the singer, if it's gospel, if it's rock, if it's country, the part of the magic in a live performance is the energy that the performer gives off and the love and excitement and applause and adulation that the audience gives back. It works together, and virtually very you few, don't get that. Very few artists work.
You don't get, and I've watched like talk shows now, you know, they've gone to having virtual audiences until they can get people back in. And what's crazy is that you're used to hearing the audience clap when something is said, or, you know, react when something is said. And now they show this wall of people and all you see is people clapping and it's mute or they're laughing. You know, it's just not the same, you know. And I understand that everybody wants to get their audiences back, but until we can get to where we need to be, I think we're kind of stuck in that virtual world, which is sad, you know, but we're getting there. We're getting there. Now, with all of the stuff that you've done, I mean, God, I mean, we've done a lot together, but you've done so much more. And I mean, we've been together on gigs, and you've left a gig to go do something else and then came back. Because you're like, uh-oh, I overbooked myself. But, I mean, you know, that's what you got to do. And that's the way it goes sometimes. You've had a lot of moments. I know that you can just probably think, oh, my God, this is it. I can't get any better than this. What has been some of your biggest and your greatest wow moments? Or I know you don't have one in particular, but one or two that you just like, oh, my God, I can't.
That's a tough question.
Part
of the answer is that the older I'm getting, I'm more risk averse. And so I'll mention one, and that is in 1997, our city put on something called the Power of Houston. And there is a group from Seattle, Washington called Bandaloop. And they are a group of, quote, sky dancers, unquote. What they do is they do ballet to music or contemporary dance suspended from structures like the Seattle Space Needle. Like El Capitan Mountain. And they've been on the Today Show and various network television. So our idea, and I just don't know that I would do this again, and that is we had this idea, and the mayor loved the idea. So in 97, we had the Houston Symphony. We closed Louisiana Street during this big festival.
Right.
Had like 50,000 people. And the sponsor at the time was Houston Lighting and Power, which is our utility, which is now called Reliance CenterPoint. So the idea was we set a stage up on Louisiana, closed the street, and we met with our sky dancers and designed that they would come out of the 27th floor. And so I brought the SWAT team up to the top of the 27th floor to check their rigging out. And several news cameras that came up there and looked at me and said, have you lost your mind? And I said, well, maybe I have. So the point is to Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet, we had these sky dancers dancing and rappelling down to the symphony stage. Wow. I don't think I'll do that again.
Yeah, that was pretty risky. But you know what? That event turned out to be one of the best events ever in this city. I mean, people talk about it. You can still go back and see video clips and, you know, things like that. But yeah, we've had so many things like that to happen. And you have been a part of that. I have to let everybody know. It was always said, if you want something done and you want something done crazy, or you want something done, you know, just like, oh my God, call Danny Ward and he will get it done. If he can't get it done, he'll find somebody to do it. He will find somebody to do it. Now, one of my memories with you is we did the MD Anderson Cancer Center gala, and that was our former president, Gerald Ford, who late great Gerald Ford was there, and I was on stage, and we had Clint Black was on one side of me and Lisa Hartman was on the other side of me, and President Ford was standing next to Clint Black. And we were all up there, we're singing and laughing and talking. And the next day, Lisa Hartman and Clint Black got married. No. And we had no idea.
No,
it was like, and I remember us all calling each other going, oh my God, they didn't say anything. Well, of course they weren't going to say anything, but that was one of my favorite memories, you know, of being with you and doing things, because we're always running into people and talking to people. Another one of mine was when former President Jimmy Carter was here with Habitat for Houston, and the great late Neil Carter was a part of that show, and we were backstage. And I literally had just done Ain't Misbehaving, the show that Neil Carter made famous on Broadway. And Neil Carter was in the back making all kinds of noise. And she said she wanted to come out and help President Jimmy Carter because she heard that she was the black sheep of the family since they had the same last name.
Wow. You know?
I mean, you know, just there's so many fond memories, you know, of what you do and what we do together. And that's why I wanted to talk to you, you know, so we can kind of just unwind and kick back. So let me ask you this. When I ask you, or if I was to say to you, what does engage your passion mean? How would you describe that?
Well, personally or professionally?
Oh, both.
Well, professionally, think about it. We're in Houston, Texas, and so we can say that we have had George Foreman, Beyonce, a whole list of great singers and performers and dancers, lots of great jazz musicians, Joe Sample. You know, so we say that just because you're not in New York or L.A., don't sell yourself short. And be, if you're a singer or a dancer or a choreographer or a painter, be the best that you can be and study hard and work very hard. And then you will be amazed that the opportunities and good things can and do happen to good people. I think today we've just got a lot of negativity that we should get rid of. And so we've always strived in our work to a national level, as we call it. And that is to don't scrimp. If it's sound, make sure you've got the right sound. If it's lighting, make sure you have the right lighting. Personally, my wife and I love to travel. We love Europe. We love wines. Love reading, don't get enough time to do it, enough of that. And I'll also say during the pandemic, we sure saw a lot of Netflix.
Oh, wow. You know what? I think you and everybody else, I mean, everybody's been streaming, everybody's gotten into everything that you can, because we're finding out things about ourselves. You know, it's like, and like you said, there are a lot of people who really found out that they can cook, that they can build, that they can do anything, because you just had time to find it out and do it. It's like, oh my God, we asked for time and now that's all we have. So now you just get in there and do it. But I really like what you said is don't sell yourself short. Just get out there and do whatever you can. And because, and I'm going to reiterate when you said, just because you're not in LA or you're not in New York doesn't mean that you can't do it. I mean, because we're here, I think Houston is one of the most powerful, talented cities in the world. We have everything here. And like you said, it's interesting that people are moving to Houston and not leaving Houston. I mean, people from New York, people from LA, people from Chicago, they're coming to Houston because there's a lot that Houston has to offer. And it's a big melting pot. You know, people used to think of New York as it, but Houston has it all. If you it whatever you want, Houston has it right here for you.
Another part of it is the arts programs in schools. And then I have to call out the High School for the Performing and Visual Arts, which I know you were affiliated with and are for a very long time. Yeah. That launching platform for kids in junior high school and high school to give them the best tools they can if they're going to be in the arts is just absolutely invaluable. And I'm not a guy that's critical, but I just wish that our universities here would focus more instead of preparing, again, I know may get criticism here, but instead of teaching somebody in music school and college how to be a band director, which is important, or how to play violin in the symphony, it's now so much about video and it's so much about the integration of all the arts and how you can, as a student, get the tools to go out and be a professional. And I really wish our colleges here would take a chapter out of what HSPBA has been doing and continues to do for years to prepare kids. But yeah, I agree with you about our town. We love it.
Yeah, and like you said, because I mean I'm an alum of PBA, I can't imagine going anywhere else after being there 4 years. You know, it was like a university. It was a university because we did. I mean, we went to school, we rehearsed, we performed, we did our homework. You know, we were doing all this at the same time. And not, let's like say, not knocking any other schools, but nobody gets that opportunity to do that. And we were being taught by professionals. We had master classes, you know, people coming in to help the teachers along, although the teachers had it. But it's always good to see somebody and have somebody who's in the business and who's working and doing it at that time. For example, if a Broadway show would come into town, they would have the dancers or the vocal people come through and do master classes with us. And that was like amazing. You know, that was almost as good as actually seeing them perform, because we were getting that one-on-one attention with them, and they were actually talking to us and answering our questions. Whereas opposed that if you went and saw the performance, you'd probably have to stand at the stage door and kind of wait for them to come out if they came out. And then you wouldn't be able to get the, you know, the time with them that they were giving us there. You know, you can't buy that time at all.
No question.
So now you were talking about you loving to travel. And I know for a fact that you're an avid wine lover. So
I'm a student. And I study a lot.
That is something that you have always liked to do. You know, a good glass of wine for you is wonderful. But a lot of people don't know this, that you are a gardener.
Oh, okay, Brian. Well, it's good to have your passions, and thank you. I forgot about that. I've been growing a vegetable garden for about 30 years, and I can tell you it is a great joy to grow your own things. Now, I can't tell a cucumber from the garden, my garden, or any garden, versus one from Kroger. So focus on the things that are prolific, and one of them certainly, and I guess I'm known for growing tomatoes and and squash and lettuces and peppers and green beans. It's so amazing to think that a package of green bean seeds for $1.50 59 will give you weeks and weeks and weeks of, you know, the French call them haricots verts.
Uh-huh.
Those are really, they're just green beans, but they pick them when they're small. And so, yeah, it is a big hobby for me, all organic, and I enjoy it.
Wow. And the garden is very nice, I might add. I've seen it many, 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 many times from when you started and lost some things and started all over with things. So, yeah, he's a gardener. And he doesn't, well, he said it earlier, he's a musician. He doesn't play as much as he used to, but I can tell you that this man is, oh my God, an accomplished pianist. And he just sits down and he's one of those people who he plays what he feels. And I've had an opportunity a lot of times to be at the house and you just sit down and play. And we sing and play and drink wine. and you are wonderful. I wish we could get you to play more and more and more and more. I know you're pushing back and you just play when you need to and when you feel it. But do you miss playing as often as you used to or what? Do you just walk around the house sometimes and say, let me sit down and play a song?
I do sometimes. I actually miss conducting, believe it or not. That as well is such a wonderful experience. But the cool thing is that in the creation of video content, and now on our website, we've got something like 100 different videos that we've shot and produced, written, all in-house for different clients. And so the cool thing is that I can use some of the musical tools that I have when it comes to the right kind of underscoring. Sometimes, and there's so much great music out there in libraries. And so whether or not the piece of music, just like, you know, John Williams finishes a movie. John Williams does the score for a movie and the director tells him, they sit down and they spot the scenes and then John will sit and write something.
Wow.
So it's great to be able to use musical tools to help create the right kind of sound, because the right kind of music track, rather, makes all the difference in the world, because you're playing to that emotion, whether it's in the range of emotion. So I do get to do that, but I miss playing, but we're happily busy doing what we do.
Right. So, okay. So what do you think the future holds for you, for where we are, what's going on? What do you see?
Well, we had an event in the spring for a client and brought in Smokey Robinson, and the client, because it was right in the middle of everybody still being so concerned. And yet, fortunately, all the metrics of the pandemic have been going down. So we did that at a client's request for 70 people in the audience. Two weeks later, we did the Barbara Bush Celebration of Breeding annual, which we made not only into a virtual broadcast, but also appeared as a special on KPRC-TV on May the 8th at 350. And then 2 weeks ago for University of St. Thomas, we had 650. So we're seeing
going up.
a real return. I think, you know, we need to hope that the metrics continue to be going in the right direction, which is downwards. And they are going to have the Olympics, and we are seeing crowds allowed back into baseball parks. So it's a good thing. I got a good friend who's a Broadway producer, and he says, you know, September, October, but Broadway will come back. They're still acting a lot of things out.
And that's a good thing. And believe it or not, a lot of theaters and you know, theater communities around the country are following the footsteps and following the lead of Broadway. So, you know, I know, for example, a lot of places here we're kind of waiting. You know, you got, do we do it? Do we not? You know, but when Broadway said September, then everybody started perking up. You know, like, okay, well, there is hope. You know, and we're getting there. So that's a good thing. Well, lastly, we laugh about it all the time. And I just want everybody to know that I am the black sheep of the Danny Ward and Nancy Ames family.
Absolutely. You should have married our daughter, man.
I know. Little Nancy. I love little Nancy. And Nancy Ames, his wife, a wonderful family. And you guys have been great to me. And I've enjoyed being around you guys. And I remember the very first song that I sang for you, actually sang for your wife, was What I Did for Love from
Wow.
And I was kind of actually auditioning for something, and you wanted her to hear me sing, and we went to the house and I sang, and I think I've been hooked ever since. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, I too am a Ward. Put Ward on the end of my name.
And thank you for the wonderful Father's Day card, Tony.
Really, you're welcome. You are welcome. Like I said, when you're not friends anymore, you become family, and that's how we are. And I thank you for that. And I want to thank you for taking some time out with me today to sit and talk and have a chat and let people know what's going on, what you're doing. And this is Ward and Ames special events. So you can go on their website and see what they're doing and the types of things they're doing. They also have a Facebook page. So, I mean, it's just all kinds of good news out there. And we are, like you said, on the brink of coming back. And hopefully you guys will get a chance to see some of the Ward and Ames productions and the things that they're doing and just kind of follow along.
Sure. Appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Yes, thank you. I want to thank you again, everybody, for tuning in to eTalk today. Don't forget to subscribe, download, and comment. We want to hear from you, the audience, and what you're thinking about us. And remember, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the website at www.anthonybglover.com. Now, until we e-talk again, remember to respect the artist, respect the art. Have a good day. Thank you for listening to eTalk with Anthony Baugus Glover. I appreciate you listening to me. Now, please subscribe, download, and comment. Leave a review. Tell us what you think. We'd love to hear from you. Now, don't forget, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and my website at www.anthonybglover.com. And before we leave, I want to give a shout out to my friends over at Adams David Media for helping me to get this show on the road. Hope to hear from you. We'll talk soon.